The Bible says, be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
All right, it's 4 p.m. on Wall Street. Do you know where your money is?
Welcome to Financial Issues, where we align reality with truth. Conservative talk radio you can count on. Financial issues that you need to know.
We face a disintegrating economy, a weakened defense, and an energy policy based on the sharing of scarcity. We will simply apply to government the common sense that we all use in our daily lives.
Now, here's your host, Dan Sealian.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues. It's Friday. That means it's Rapid Fire Friday. If you're just joining us for the first time, let me just tell you what that's all about. We try to take as many questions as we can on Friday. We ask you to keep your questions pithy, just short, right to the point. And I'll try to do the same with the answers. I ask you on social media, on Facebook, on our website, if you're watching on the website and you're putting a question up on the website, if you're a partner, you have this chat side of the website. If you're doing that same thing, put your question up there or your comment up there. Try to keep it short, and we'll try to get to as many of them as we can. We left some hanging yesterday. I would like to clean those up as well. So if you put up a question yesterday on Facebook, on our website, we'll get to that today. As soon as we start going to questions, which we're going to do in about 10 minutes. So if you cue your call right now, you're going to be the first one that we go to. 844-707-5533, and we're going to stay with calls once we go that. Of course, all the conversation is in and around trade. We know that President Trump, as of 12:01 this morning, initiated new tariffs on trade. Trump said this in a tweet this morning. He said, we have lost $500 billion a year for many years. Crazy. Trade with China, no more. No more crazy trade with China. Those days are over. I think President Trump has made that very clear. He continues to make that clear. He put the additional tariffs on, which, by the way, we still have about 3 weeks to negotiate those away again if we can get everybody to the table and agreeing. They did continue after those tariffs went into effect. 12:01, the China delegation let the White House know that they still are going to meet today. They want to try to work these things out. President Trump this morning talked about, I heard this morning, President Trump talking about a letter that he received last night from President Xi. He said it was a very good letter. It was a wonderful letter. And, talking about how much they want to try to make a deal. So China did indicate that they will retaliate. The problem is with retaliation, they have no ammunition. They don't have anything. So we're gonna possibly add tariffs on $300 billion more dollars worth of trade. They can't do that. They can go about another $100 billion. We export to China about $180 billion, so they can put a little bit more on. Of course, there is a concern about our farmers. President Trump said this about tariffs and our farmers. Let's see if I can find it here. Which one is it? I lost it already. But anyway, here it is. Yeah, number three. So tariffs will bring far more wealth to our country than even the phenomenal deal of traditional kind, talking about a traditional kind of proceeds from trade. Also, much easier and quicker to do. Our farmers will do better faster than they will under trade, he's indicating. And starving nations can now be helped. Now, what he's referring to is a tweet that he put out earlier where, yes, farmers might suffer, but he said earlier that we can buy more. He didn't say can, he said will, but later on he said if we buy. So I'm going to say, Ken, we can buy more from farmers than China can buy from farmers, and we'll use it to feed the poor in starving countries and here for humanitarian assistance. And we'll use that money. Keeps our farmers going. We get to do a wonderful humanitarian situation there, and that'll be far better. So I don't know if he will do that. I suspect, though, if he said it, he's thinking about it, he's probably going to do it. That would be good. But again, we've got about 3 weeks to work out these tariffs. But here's the most interesting part of it. So you would expect 1201 last night, you know these deals went into effect, you would expect the markets to be down considerably. China market, all the Asia markets up with the exception of Japan. The Shanghai Composite is up 3%. 3%. That's the China markets, up 3%. All the markets in the Eurozone up considerably. Germany alone up 1.1% right now. All of them in positive territory. France, Italy, Germany, the three largest, all in positive territory, along with the UK. The pound is moving higher. So all the markets reacting in a very positive way. Well, how's that happen? Well, one thing is it takes out a little bit of uncertainty out of the markets. Markets hate uncertainty. Well, one thing we know for sure, we don't have to wonder about whether tariffs are going to get raised. You just did it. Done deal. It's over with. So that's one thing. It takes out some of the uncertainty. A lot of people sitting on the sidelines this morning waiting to see what happens with all of this that is going on with continued talks. Is this going to be the catalyst that is going to drive the trade deal to completion? Some are betting that that is the case. And that's why we're not seeing any reaction. Markets, for all practical purposes, pretty much flat right now. So not a big deal. It also goes to show, and this is what I want to remind you of. First of all, markets are generally right. And I believe they're right this time. We're going to get a trade deal. The other thing is, you see just how resilient the United States market is. We haven't budged. Yeah, this is the worst week in the markets that we've had in 2019. That's true. It's also better. We're far better off this year than we were last year. Markets have done very, very well this year and continue to hold a lot of the gain for this year. So really, I mean, this is an amazing, not just a resilient market, but it's a resilient market because we have an amazing, an amazingly resilient economy. It just goes, it just goes to show just how resilient our economy is. And that's the real news out of this. And look, President Trump is not worried about what he does with China and trade. He is not worried about his popularity through all this. He is going to stay strong with a communist China, communist regime. I know it's not politically correct to say communist China. We don't do that anymore. But it's a communist regime. He's going to stay very strong with them. They are not an ally. They are an enemy of the United States. They're a somewhat of a friendly enemy, but they're not considered an ally. So one of the things that we're seeing is his strength is going to be rewarded in popularity, regardless of what happens in the markets, in my opinion. He knows that. But further than that, he's got a plan B here. And maybe the plan B is to put a deal together to buy beans and corn from farmers that we can use to send to some of the poorest nations of the world as humanitarian aid. And I don't know who would be against that. I guess some would be. But it's going to be good for farmers. It's going to be good for those starving countries. President Trump understanding that we've got to share the wealth. How about that for all the socialist Democrats? Anyway, lots going on. CPI came out. This is a consumer price index. It was up slightly, 0.1% on the core, 0.3%. On the headline number, that's the number we care about, 0.3%. By the way, both of these numbers cooling off, not quite as heated as they were. That's pretty good news as well. Well, IPO. Uber putting out their IPO today. The CEO likely going to be ringing the bell at the stock exchange this morning. I'm not 100% sure of that. I suspect that is the case. I see him now waving people onto the floor, getting ready. Yes, they will be ringing the bell. And, you know, he's not poor by any stretch of the imagination. He's not a multi-millionaire. But at 4 o'clock today, he's likely to be worth somewhere between $6 to $8 billion. He woke up this morning having an okay job, has had a good career, CEO of a company going public, and he's going to go to sleep tonight worth somewhere between $6 and $8 billion, being one of the richest men in the world. Well, Uber is not a stock I would ever recommend. They're not biblically responsible in all likelihood. I don't know that for a fact, but I suspect they're not. But they have no plan to make any money. They're not going to make any money. They're not going to make any money for a long time. I think this is going to be a utility company for all practical purposes. I don't think they're going to make huge amounts of money. I think the stock is not going to be volatile on the upside by a whole lot of money. So, you know, we're going to have to wait and see how this all shakes out, but we're not going to know for several years. And it's not something I'd want to be buying into for the sake of it going up. It may be driven up by a lot of buying, but it's not a company that has any real good fundamentals on how to make money and the fact that they are going to make money. So we'll have to watch that. All right, 844-707-5533. It is Rapid Fire Friday. We're going to get right to calls. Let me go to George. George calling us from Colorado. Hey, George.
New Mexico.
New Mexico. Yeah. Okay. It says Colorado.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
That's real close. 6 miles. Dan, got a question on one of your stocks that was on your buy list and now it's on your broad list. T as in Tom, L as in Larry, 25.
Yeah.
What in the world is going on with this?
Well, I can't say, I'm not going to say too much, but you're going to get an alert this morning from me on that stock. So if you want an indication of what I am sending the alert out on, you can go to the website and check out the commentary section of the website, and you'll see that information.
Okay.
So you'll get that. So I've got a swap going for that stock to another stock that you might want to consider. You don't have to. I will say this about that stock, TL25. Fundamentals still remain fairly strong. On May 14th, I'll have a better idea of where they're going to head into. It could be good, could be bad, but the CFO on May 14th is going to be revealing some things at a communications conference in Boston, and he's going to be talking about some things on May 14th, and I would suspect that it's probably going to impact the direction of the stock. Most are believing that it's going to indicate a positive movement on the stock, but I don't like where the stock's free cash flow is going, and I don't like their marketing strategy that's been revealed in their first quarter earnings that I just got yesterday. So I don't feel like the company's going to go out of business. If you got a long-term time horizon, I know some people are probably going to buy into it here and hold on to it for a long time. I think it's got possibilities for a very long time. But I think the stock that I've recommended in its place in the same sector might be a better place to move that money to. That stock that we're moving the money to is a little bit of a different kind of play in that space, and it's had a very good run, but it could pull back a little bit. But all in all, I think it's going to be more stable in the long run. So you'll see that in an alert.
Okay, I'll certainly take a look at that, and because I'm one of the blue boys, you know, I'm looking at the income. You know.
Yeah. Well, if you're looking if you're looking at only the income, I don't see the dividend getting cut at all. I thought that was going to be the case coming out of their quarterly earnings, and I was thinking, you know, if they were smart, I would like to see them cut the dividend. I think it would be wise for them to do that. but it doesn't look like they're planning on doing that right now. I think paying this dividend at this point is overkill. If they are going to bounce around here at the bottom for a while, they need to cut that dividend back, use that money in other places to shore up the stability of the company. Doesn't look like they're going to do that. So the dividend's probably going to stay high. So, you know, if you want to, if you're in it for the dividend and the income, then like I always say, it doesn't matter how many times I say it, nobody listens. But I always say, if you're in it for the dividend, you shouldn't be worried about where the stock is going, whether it's going up or going down. Just keep collecting the dividend. If that's your case and you need that for income and you don't want to drastically reduce your income, then you need to keep it.
Because I don't want to do anything about the equity of it, because I don't want to change from a unrealized loss to a realized loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. I mean, that's up. Your gain is unrealized too on stocks. Keep that in mind. It's only on paper, but this isn't really taking the loss, in my opinion. It's shifting the loss over to another company that can maybe help you make up the loss a little bit quicker. But if you're in it for the income, I wouldn't go there. I got to run on this Rapid Fire Friday, George. Thank you. I hope that helps. Let me go to Jason. Jason calling us from North Carolina. Hey, Jason. Charles. I got Charles from Arkansas. Go ahead, Charles.
Hey, Dan. I got a quick comment. I think it's great that we're helping out farmers by possibly giving food away to poor countries. But one thing I think we got to be careful of is that we don't hurt the farmers in those poor countries by just increasing their supply.
Yeah, Charles, I love that. That is a great, great point. And that is going to have to be a concern. If they put a deal together like this, they're going to have to think about that very, very carefully and make sure that they focus on the countries that are suffering from severe drought and trying to stay them over, help them out through this drought. You know, I think of countries like, I'm trying to think of, Swaziland is a country I know a little bit about because my wife goes over there, has been over there a few times. And they, just 5-6 years ago, they were a huge producer of corn in Africa. They have nothing. That land is nothing but dust right now. They can't plant any crops whatsoever. So for a country like that, it would be great, as long as it doesn't become a continued thing. When it rains, when the drought is over, then of course we got to pull back. But you're right, it's going to take some extremely careful planning, and you make a very, very good point about that, something I missed. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Love your show.
All right, Charles. I appreciate it. Yeah, great point Charles makes, you know, and you know, there we go. And you know what Charles just did? He just brought up, and I'm not going to stay too long on this. I want to get to phones, 844-707-5533. We have some lines open. But as what Charles just did, he did what I always try to do, is talk about the unintended consequence of certain things that the government might do. And we have a businessman that's a president. We have a lot of people that's president. We have a lot of people around him that are business people. And hopefully they're going to think just like Charles thought and think about the unintended consequence of that. And we've got to be very, very careful. We don't want a safety net of sending, corn to a certain area or soybean to a certain area. We don't want that safety net to become a hammock. You know, we want to help them out, but it's not something that they ought to be depending on year after year. It's to hold them over until they can get their crops in, planted, and growing once again. Good stuff. Let me go to Jason. Jason calling us from North Carolina. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Dan. How are you this morning?
Good.
Good. Just quick question about, I'm new to this whole investing thing, but I'm really excited to be a part of it and become a partner. And
great.
What I have is about $20,000 in a mutual fund.
Uh-huh.
And I got listening to your conference calls, and I just wanted to make sure, like, that money's already in the market, so I can take that out and put it into that cash account and then start trading myself, right, as long as I put it all back in?
That's correct. That is correct.
Okay.
Yep.
That's the question I got.
And follow that asset allocation model. Well, you're not a partner yet, but if you do that, become
a partner.
Oh, you are a partner.
Yes,
follow that. Just follow that asset allocation model, And also, Jason, I would tell you, there's no sense of urgency, you know, in doing that. Just peck away at it and start, you know, buying a little bit in some of those sectors.
Okay. Do you think am I up against any kind of tax penalties or something for taking out of that mutual and then
no.
putting it
is,
in?
Is it an IRA?
It is, a
yeah.
traditional.
No, you don't have to worry about anything.
Okay.
Long as you're going to keep it in an IRA, right?
Yeah, actually, I opened my own business, and I've heard you say to somebody else that if they're self-employed, they need to be into a SEP.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Okay. So I'm going to move that over, and we actually, my wife and I have to consolidate a couple accounts that we have, and it'll just make things easier on us.
Yeah, that'll be great. That'll work out really well for you, Jason. I'm glad you did that. And no, there won't be any tax penalties or anything on that.
That's awesome. Dan, thank you so much for what you do, and God bless.
You're welcome. Thank you for your partnership, Jason. I appreciate it. I wish you all the best in that business. Folks, Jason mentioned just becoming a partner, and I want to mention to you, man, you want to be on the you want to be at the town hall meeting tomorrow. You don't have to fly. You don't have to drive. You don't have to do anything. All you got to do is make sure your coffee's hot, sit at the kitchen table, and watch the town hall meeting. It's going to be a live stream. We're going to start at 10 o'clock Eastern time, 9 o'clock Central time, 8 o'clock Mountain time, and Pacific time, maybe a little bit early, but 7 o'clock. So all you've got to do is register for it, tune in, and watch. There's going to be some things. We're going to be talking about this economy, where we're going. I'm going to give you some peace of mind about some things that you may not be thinking about. I'm going to show you some statistics on it to give you and explain it to you, to give you some peace of mind. But we're going to talk about a lot of things, and I hope you'll join us for the town hall meeting. And please, would you? I said this yesterday, but would you please try to register this morning so that we can get a feel for how many people are on there? We don't want to eat up all our bandwidth. We might have to do something technically to take care of how many people we have. So we're going to have hundreds and hundreds of people we already have registered. Yesterday was crazy how many people registered yesterday, and so I suspect today is going to be the same, but what we don't want, we understand that Saturday morning some people might register. What we don't want to happen is hundreds and hundreds of people to register and watch it on Saturday morning. So we don't want to shut down any of the technical side of things we've got going. I hope you're going to join us tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. All you got to do is tune in, I guess, on the website, right, guys? Right. Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. Our lines are open, 844-707-5533. We're going to go to phones. Before I do that, I got several questions about something I put on the commentary section of the website, TL25. So let me answer those questions. There's Edward, William, and Brian. I can answer all three of them here in a quick minute. Maybe not Brian. Brian doesn't have a TL, somebody else. But anyway, here we go. So yeah, so it's not an absolute. You don't have to sell it. You got a long-term time horizon. You like it. That's fine. You can keep it. I say that in the alert. It's not an absolute. You will always know when the sell is an absolute. I will make that so clear you can't even imagine. And it's usually clear when there's something dangerous going on that I want you to know about, and I think we got to get rid of it, or it's not biblically responsible anymore. When it's not biblically responsible anymore, I'm going to want everybody to sell it at the same time if we can do it, because we want to have an impact and drop the stock so that I get the phone call and I can call them and have an opportunity to talk to them about why it happened. So that's what we do on a non-biblically one. This is not that way. It is not an absolute. If you're an income investor and all you care about is income, keep it. All right? It's a great income. I think the dividend's going to get cut at some point in time, but there's no indication of that I could see last night on the details of their quarterly report. So I think they should cut it. I think they'd be wise to cut it. I would actually feel better about it if they did cut it, but no indication that they're going to do that. So it's not an absolute. My long-term hope is, and this is what William's asking me, what about this? My long-term hope is that it's going to turn around and they're going to be okay. But this is an incredibly competitive and an incredibly fast-changing world, this part of technology in the telecommunications thing. I don't have to tell you that. How many times has your phone, cell phone been upgraded? You know, I mean, it's just, I mean, we see how quickly it's changing. But my long-term goal is that they're going to be able to keep pace with it. One of the reasons why I put this on my sell list was because their free cash flow has been diminished dramatically, which tells me that they're going to be it's going to be a little bit difficult for them to make some of the quick moves that they're going to need to make to maintain a pace, to keep pace with the technology that they have. So but it's not an absolute. Everything is fine. You can keep it. If you're an income investor, keep it. Hopefully you'll see that in the alert this morning and understand. But all good questions. I expected to get a lot of questions this morning on this because I know a lot of people own this. I would love if I have some time. I don't today, but I'm going to make a note to try to talk about this Monday. But it's rapid fire today. But I'm going to elaborate on not this particular stock, but on the reason why so many people own this stock. And I've got to explain that reason because it's something that we need to know. Maybe I'll talk about it at the town hall meeting tomorrow. How about that? That would be a very good thing to do. I might do that. All right, let me go to phones again. Let me go to David. David's calling us from Arkansas. Hey, David.
Good morning, Dan. Good visiting with you this morning.
Appreciate
so much your ministry.
Thank you.
I had a quick question about cash.
Okay.
Listened to you to the show last week, and you advised a gentleman probably in his retirement years about C-20 and C-15, mm-hmm. and that those would be great places to park cash. Mm-hmm. The problem I had with that in my TD Ameritrade was that they were going to charge me like a $49.95 fee to buy that. Is there another place or way to get in and out of that cash better?
I would say this. I would suspect, and I don't know this, so I don't take it as fact, but I suspect because it's a government muni, it's a government mutual type fund, and government short-term bond fund, I suspect that TD Ameritrade has their own. So by moving to a Vanguard or Fidelity, they're selling away, it's called. So they're selling, they're putting money into someone else's when they have their own, and they'd rather not do that. Now, I would ask them or research, and I don't know the answer to this, but they likely have their own Ginnie Mae fund, and they might have their own inflation-protected bond fund. And mm-hmm. so you can maybe switch it to one of theirs, which still would be biblically responsible. Now, the only thing I would say to you on C-20 is if they have a fund like that, look at the numbers side by side. Take a look at the C-20's numbers for their year-to-date, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year, and look at those numbers and see what they've done. And what you're going to find, I'm just telling you, for this I know, what you will find is all those time periods, it being positive. None of those time periods was this fund down. And the income on it was fairly steady. If you see something dramatically different in TD Ameritrade's C-20 fund, then I would probably tell you to pay the $49 and use the C-20 or whatever it is.
Okay.
All right, does that help you?
I'll dig in on that and do a little research.
Good. Great.
Good deal. Thank you.
Great question, David. And I'm glad you told me that. I didn't know that. Now I can do a little research too on my own about that. All right, thank you.
All right. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Let me go to Bill. Bill calling us from Alabama. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. The comment that I have is that you're talking about Swaziland and their production of corn.
Yes.
I that's a great thing that we're trying to do to help them out in the years that they have drought problems, but why aren't we trying to help them find technology to conserve their water in those years that they have plenty,
yeah,
like they do in Israel?
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, I think that some you got to remember, this is a very, very controlling dictatorship in the country. You know, they don't care about the poor. That's one. They're not going to spend the money on the technology. The technology is already there. The drip irrigation systems like Israel has, I mean, that technology is already out there. For people to employ that on their own, which from what I understand, they try to do that. There, when I say there's drought, there's nothing. This is worse than Israel. I mean, there's nothing. And they don't have the abilities to drill deep, deep, deep and drill these wells. But certainly that technology is out there. But it is something that we could maybe go in. And I know that there are missions agencies that are going into the missions agency that Yvonne goes with is there to feed orphans primarily, because Swaziland has the highest rate of AIDS than any country in the world. That's where it all started, by the way, in that part of Africa. And so the orphan rate is just, astronomical. And with the drought being what it is, it's gotten very difficult. So, but there are agencies over there working in water and pumps and all those kinds of things. It's just a very big problem. And I was just using that as a small example because it's a very small country part of South Africa, very small country. But I was just using that as an example because I had little insights on it more than I would others. But you make great points, Bill, and that's something that if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be this president, you know, to research that technology and to institute that technology. And frankly, we need to do that here in this country as well, because we take for granted our natural resource of fresh water. And it's going to be probably one of the, let me tell you something, where my sister lives in West Texas, it is a commodity that I don't know what they're going to do because they're building out there like crazy. And it's something that, you know, when you look at places in Nevada, like the Las Vegas area, I mean, you know, they've got one source of water is the dam. And when you look at the levels of the Hoover Dam and you look at those levels of how far down the water is going, it's scary. So, yeah, all that technology needs to be instituted for sure. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate you weighing in, brother. God bless.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Let me see if I can get Thomas real quick in here from Indiana. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Dan, before I ask my TSP question, I just had a thought. Do the people in Canada, can they catch you on the air or on TV?
Yes. I'm not supposed to say that, but yes, they can, and we have partners, which is what I'm really not supposed to say. But we have a lot of partners from Canada, believe it or not, yes.
Okay, excellent.
Yep.
The TSP plan, in your asset allocation on our website, you don't have an F fund, which I understand there is one. Why do we not have that?
Yeah, so it's probably something that in another year or so I'll add, but I've not felt real good about it for a number of reasons, and I'm waiting it out, see what happens with the F fund as it goes on. You might see it get added, but right now I don't have any plans to add that. Now, I got to be honest with you, I haven't done the research, the deep research, on that in about 2 months. So I did it, it's been a little longer. It was towards the end of January. So things may have changed a little bit, but that could show up. But I didn't want anybody to consider it based on some information that I had about it, and that's why it's not on there.
Okay, good enough. See you tomorrow, Dan.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Thomas. 844-707-5533. We'll be right.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
844-707-5533. Folks, we're having a town hall meeting tomorrow. I'm thinking thousands of people. I don't know. We have hundreds and hundreds of people. that are registered. I went on, I looked yesterday, I was blown away of how many registrations we had. When you register for the town hall meeting, you have to be a partner, but you, when you register for the town hall meeting, you will get an email. It's in that email contains a link, and you, all you got to do is get your coffee and your donuts, sit down at the kitchen table, put your, open your computer, get your computer, and click on that link, and you'll be able to watch the town hall meeting. So you'll be able to ask questions. There'll be a spot there you can ask questions. We're going to take your questions. So we'll want to get to your questions. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Right now, the Dow is down about 72 points, which is only a quarter of 1%. So everything's, you know, not a lot of big movement. Who would have thought? Oh, no, more tariffs. Who would have thought? This is an incredibly resilient economy and market. And I'll tell you something. I don't think I've really ever thought about this. I don't remember. There may have been a time that I've said this. But right now, there is something very, very special about the American economy that I've never seen before, or at least I can't remember seeing. I don't know if it's a function of the global economies everywhere on Earth is so bad, or in fact, this is really something special. But nonetheless, it's amazing when we look at the resilience. All right, let me go back to phones. Let me get to Ray. Ray's calling us from Texas. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Dan, how are you, sir? Appreciate what you do. Just had a quick question. I'm part of a company that's a global enterprise, and they do a matching 401k, and just wondered if that could possibly be moved to a Timothy fund or something like that, and would the company still be required to match that?
So, good question, Ray. The company, what do you know yet where the 401k is being held, like what brokerage or how, you know, not what it has in it, but what, where it is?
John Hancock.
Okay. So no, you wouldn't be able to do anything. So that's an insurance product. It's an annuity. And they're matching to that. They have no obligation to match. So if you say, well, look, I'm going to go out on my own and do my own IRA, would you match it? They have no obligation to do that and likely won't do that. So what I would suggest to you, Ray, is try to get to a place where, you know, take advantage of the match. So let's say they're matching 3% or 6% or whatever it is, that you would try to be at a place where you can, in fact, put in that much to get the entire match. I would put that money in the most conservative thing that they have. So let's say that one of the options in that is going to be some kind of stable value, or it's going to be a government bond fund, something like that. I would put it in there. That's going to be your conservative positions, you know, your kind of cash and other things for the rest of your money. And then anything over and above, once you get to a place where you can do more than the match, then do that in your own IRA account that you would set up. So set up an IRA account at another brokerage, and you can do Timothy funds, ETFs, individual stocks, you know, anything you want to do. And that's going to be kind of more of your aggressive side of things, and use that. And that way you can stay pretty biblically responsible by doing that and take advantage of the match. You have to take advantage of the match. It's free money. You just doubled every dollar that you put in there. You just doubled it. So you've got to do that. But because you've just made 100% on the money you're putting in there, why get too aggressive there anyway? Just go ahead and do it in something conservative and open a retirement account, a Roth IRA, and take advantage of being biblically responsible.
Good deal. I appreciate that advice. I hope to help somebody else.
All right. Thank you, Ray. I appreciate it. Let me go to Quentin. Quentin calling us from Oklahoma. Hey, Quentin.
Hey, good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Hey, Dan, quick question. I have all of my taxable account investments sitting in Vanguard and a large portion of my retirement account sitting in Vanguard, but I also have rollover IRAs in Fidelity and also some IRAs in Schwab, and was thinking about consolidating everything under the Vanguard in Vanguard, but just wanted to see if there's any inherent risk in, you know, putting everything with one brokerage company, or would I be better off to leave the IRAs in Fidelity and Schwab and spread it out a little?
Yeah, Quentin, that's a great question. My opinion is that I think you should consolidate it. I don't think there is any inherent risk in doing that because it's not Vanguard. So I'll say this. You would open a Vanguard brokerage account to do that with so that you are able to do the individual stocks and all those kinds of things. You'll be able to do that. So you'd be in the brokerage side of things. And yeah, no, I think it's fine because you're not putting all of, some would say, well, you're putting all your eggs in one basket. No, not really. Your eggs are going to be placed in different investments. So let's just say you own, Occidental Petroleum and as one of your stocks. If Vanguard goes bankrupt, it's not going to affect you at all, or at least that Occidental stock. Now, would it affect their mutual funds, Vanguard's? Yes, it would. But you're going to diversify if you're trying to be biblically responsible, and I don't know where you're going with all that. But if you are, then you're only going to be limited as to what Vanguard funds you're going to use anyway, and you're going to start diversifying across a lot of other sectors, being biblically responsible. So I don't think there's any risk at all. I think it makes good sense, particularly for all those IRA accounts. So I think you ought to get moving on it and do that. Yep.
Yeah. So if a lot of them, because I do have a lot of accounts that I do already have a Vanguard brokerage account. So I do have investments with them in the brokerage account and also. In 401k that's in there right now from an employer that I'll eventually roll to an IRA. But they are, unfortunately, the taxable accounts are in a lot of index funds that have large built-in gains.
Uh-huh.
And they are Vanguards as well.
Yes.
You know, and if I rolled the Fidelity and Schwab into Vanguard, and, you know, then obviously I could move things around in the IRAs and not incur any gains, any capital gains. But I would have a large portion in the Vanguard index funds. But you're saying if Vanguard were to have problems, then their index funds could have problems.
Yes, that's true. But look, if Vanguard's going to have problems, we're in big trouble. So. No matter
Good
where
point.
You are, we're in trouble. I mean, you know, Vanguard, Fidelity, BlackRock, I mean, some of these, if I had a choice between going into the U.S. government or Vanguard, I'd probably pick Vanguard. So, I mean, it's that strong. I don't see, you know, if something monumental were going to happen that would hurt a company like that, we've got some real major problems in the world.
It would just be simpler to be able to manage.
Definitely.
To get it all under one roof.
Absolutely.
And let them look at my IRA accounts and see which ones are capable of being consolidated in and among themselves as well, and try to simplify things down. I just was worried about, like I said, just, you know, was there any inherent Vanguard risk, kind of like a portfolio, you know, you're trying to, you know, spread things around. Was there any benefit really to leaving it? Because over time, because of who sponsored company 401k plans, I've unfortunately ended up with three large brokerage houses rather than one.
Right, right. Now, I don't think there's any, I mean, all your risk is going to be, for instance, let's say you have index funds at a number of places. You have large cap mutual funds at Vanguard and others. What you have a lot of, you've got the same thing. You got so much of the same thing. I mean, if you were to examine those mutual funds, you would realize, holy mackerel. You know, so when, you know, the downside to your portfolio is much more of a just a regular old market risk that isn't going to change by consolidating.
Perfect. Well, thank you. That helps a lot and gives me some comfort to maybe start the process to get things consolidated. Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. Thank you, Quentin. I appreciate it. 844-707-5533. We're coming up at the end of the clock here for this hour, so we'll hold off. We'll get right back to phones. We have one line open. I don't know who the person is that's going to get on it, but we have one line open, 844-707-5533. Listen, it's rapid fire, so we're going to stay with calls. We're going to take a break. We got a break now, but then we take that little bit of break for our ag report. The ag report has increasingly, with China tensions growing, our ag report becomes more and more important every day. And we're so grateful we have Craig Haugert as our ag reporter, keeping us updated and informed. So when we get back, we have the ag report. Then we're going to get to phones, and we will be with phones for the next hour and 45 minutes. So cue your call. We're moving through them very quickly, so that's great. Folks, remember, if you're not a partner, we sure would appreciate it if you consider it. Great time to do it.